Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
You'll be all alone if you don't have a wife. But these ladies ain't feeling you. They don't want
to
know.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you know, if you're sitting here on this time, it's me. It's Mr. Master. Excuse me, Mr. Master. Wow. I am JT, a.k.a. the Master. And this is the Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. It's a place to be. If you want to talk to me, we got an hour sitting here waiting for you people. Got a lot of things going on. The AFC and NFC Conference Championships. After today, we will know who is on the way to the Super Bowl. How about that? We have a chat room. If you want to lay your knowledge in that chat room, you could do so. Ask a question, make a statement, comment, whatever you want to do in that chat room. What you put in is what you get out of it. That's all I got to say about that. We also would like your input, so call us. I gave you the number. All you got to do is pick up that phone or and dial those digits, and let's talk about it. Coaching changes, players not suiting up, saying they will, not suiting up. I want to talk about, as much as I can fit in this hour, about what's going on in the world of sports. And since the most important, in my opinion, the most important sport right now, because it's playoff time, going to that big dance is the NFL. So that's what we're going to be talking about. You can best believe that. I also want to talk about, like I said, the coaching changes too, because the coaching carousel is in full effect. And there's a lot of movement that maybe you don't know about. Excuse me. So without further ado, let's get to it. Let's talk about this first. We'll talk about a player that said he wouldn't be inactive again. That would not happen. Well, guess what? T. Richardson, and I have to label him until he shows otherwise, a bust that the Indianapolis Colts traded for, is home. He didn't travel with the team. And they left him home because he missed the Colts Saturday morning walkthrough. And quite naturally after that, most teams punish you, and he wasn't allowed to travel with the team to New England. He'll be inactive again, just like he was inactive last week. And it's not a good combination to suck at football and miss team meetings ahead of the biggest game of the season. You know, I don't understand these guys, whether they are professional athletes, former professional athletes, being analysts, and it doesn't make a difference what sport it is in. I don't understand it. You know, you would think these guys would learn from prior guys screwing up, but no. No way. You got T. Rich missing practice, missing a walkthrough, which is in essence a, even though it's not pads and all, it's practice. And he was inactive last week, so he misses practice. So they more or less he wanted to get inactivated this week, so he would go with the team. And that's one of the reasons why I played that song. It's time to go, because I believe the time with T. Richardson, Trent Richardson, time with the Indianapolis Colts is history. I don't see him, unless there's a catastrophic injury to the running back core, I don't see how he is going to move forward with the Indianapolis Colts. I see him as a instant release. The moment the Indianapolis Colts are no longer in the playoffs, quite naturally, to go to the Super Bowl, I kind of doubt if he's going to be activated. I'd be very surprised unless, like I said, it's a catastrophic something catastrophic happens to the running back core of Indianapolis. But his days in Indianapolis are numbered, and his days as a player, in my opinion, are numbered. He had, I think, one decent season, and ever since he's been in the league, he's been absolutely horrible. Absolutely horrible. I mean, he was one decent season in Cleveland. Then he got hurt. He was constantly getting hurt. And then Cleveland said they had enough of him, and they moved him to Indianapolis. And for any of you who follow football, you can absolutely know that nothing but collect a paycheck. He just stole money, in my opinion. He stole money. And now, the two biggest games of the Indianapolis Colts, one against Denver and one to be today at in New England, he's inactive. One, because the first game, because he was so inept in running. The second game, I guess he uses as an excuse. He missed practice, whatever it was. It's supposedly for personal reasons, but as personal as you think it may be, I think he's just good college player, real good college player. Didn't translate into the NFL. Now, I could probably see him and maybe move into another team, but his role is going to be insignificant at best if he moves to another team. They're going to release him. I can almost guarantee they're going to release him for the simple fact he's just dead weight. Dead weight. Why do the Colts need him? They're going to have Ahmad Bradshaw coming back. And I'm trying to think what the other running back that they had. And they're probably going to draft a running back in the draft. Running backs don't, just not a running back that's first round worthy. So they're going to be drafting him in probably in a third, fourth round, something like that, another running back. That's how the running backs are treated. And Trent Richardson is supposed to be a big time running back. Never panned out that way. So, it is what it is. I talked yesterday on the FSP show with Victor, and I predicted, and I'm probably going to be wrong, but I'm saying this is going to be upset Sunday. Everybody thinks New England and their playoff record is going to beat the pants off of the Indianapolis Colts. And also, in turn, the Seattle Seahawks are going to beat the pants off the Aaron Rodgers and company and the Green Bay Packers. because both those teams, Seattle and New England, are playing at home. And both those teams have a very good home playoff record. And a regular season record, for that fact. But guess what? I'm saying it's going to be an upset Sunday. One thing I do know, and I haven't heard it talked about that much. Let's transition over to this. We're going to go talk about the Green Bay Packers going up to the Seattle Seahawks stadium, and with the 12th man, and they played them before, first game of the season, and got their butts kicked. So everybody thinks that's going to happen again. You know what? Before I get into that, let me do this. Let's take about a minute break, and then we'll come back.
Thursday night is the right time to kick back and listen to the FSP Crew Show as they break down the weekend sports and prepare you for Thursday night football. 8 p.m. Eastern, just before the game starts, Jerry the Master Taylor hosts the show with Jeff the Joker Goldberg and Mike the Bookie Monster Wright. The three gentlemen debate and discuss a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything on the FSP Crew Show every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
Victor Gardner. All right, people, I'm back. And I want to talk about the Green Bay Packers visiting the Seattle Seahawks. Now, like I said, they played each other the first game of the season. and it wasn't a pleasant sight for the Green Bay Packers. They went up to Seattle, and Seattle handled them 36-16. Aaron Rodgers only threw for 189 yards. James Starks was the leading rusher because Eddie Lacy got knocked out of that game with a concussion. Jordy Nelson only had 83 yards receiving. Okay. That's the first game of the season, in my opinion. I consider that to be the fourth preseason game because teams usually don't get going until about the third game of the season, really. Get things really, and they know who they are. Give or take, somewhere around there. And depending on the starting players, the players that are normally starters in whatever team you're talking about, the playing time varies, and they don't get their full work in or what they need to really play the season until about that, maybe a month into it. So hopefully you can weather the storm. And the first four games that the Packers were in were at 500. They won two, and quite naturally lost two. So and that was when the third game into the season, where they had lost to Seattle, they had beaten the Jets, and then they lost to Detroit. That Green Bay fans were up in arms. They were going crazy. And Aaron Rodgers said, R-E-L-A-X, relax. And then they went on a 4-game winning streak and were basically blowing teams out for the most part. They had one close game against Miami, which they still won, but they had a 4-game winning streak until they went up against New Orleans, excuse me, at New Orleans and got beat. Okay? But then after that, they went on a 5-game winning streak before they wound up losing to Buffalo in Buffalo. And then they ended it with a 2-game winning streak heading into the playoffs. So they wound up the season 12-4. After that relax, they only lost twice more after that. So some people say they lucked out with the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think so. I think they still probably would have won the game, but we'll never know that. It is what it is. And you know what I'm going to do? Take a short break. I'll be right back as soon as I can. All right, people, I'm back. Sorry for that. I had to pause for the cause, and it was a little delayed. Sorry about that. Anyway, we're talking about the Green Bay Packers. And let me tell you something. The one thing I noticed, and it happened quite a bit, is this. And I noticed it last year, and he didn't play that well until he had another game under his belt. When Aaron Rodgers doesn't practice that well, or doesn't practice during the week, usually it reflects a lot in his play. This is one player that I do know, especially in the quarterback position, that he has to practice and participate in practice throughout the week in order to be effective on Sunday. And he didn't do that this past week. Now, he played better in the second half of that Cowboys-Green Bay game. But it wasn't up to Aaron Rodgers' standards, in my opinion. I think with another day of supposed rest, even though he says it feels worse, and he did practice this week. So you're going to get the real Aaron Rodgers and a full dose of Eddie Lacy. Most people think that the Seattle Seahawks are going to do the same thing. And I think I'm calling for an upset. I'm calling for an upset. Everybody say it's a foregone conclusion that these two teams, Seattle and New England, are going to face each other. I'm saying not so fast. I'm saying this. Game plan. Even though Seattle's favored by 7 and maybe 8 points at some places, 7 to 8 points, and people are thinking that they're going to get blown out, I'm saying no. I'm saying that Seattle's going to get surprised, and a hot New England, hot Indy team, brimming with confidence, goes into New England and takes them out. And the unlikeliest duo that goes to the Super Bowl goes to the Super Bowl, Green Bay and Indianapolis. Now, that's a very extremely bold statement, but yeah, I said it, and I'll stick to it. Two teams that have a lot to prove, got the brakes beat off of them last time, know the flaws that they had when they first played these two teams, these home teams in Seattle and New England. And are going to game plan not to do the same things. Quite naturally, in Green Bay and Seattle, beast mode is going to be in effect. They're going to try to run the ball as much as possible. And they're going to try to run the ball. That's their modus operandi, running the ball. And also twofold, because that's the way their offense runs. And for the simple fact is they want to keep the ball away from that the explosive Green Bay defense. They've been pretty stout against the run. Very difficult against the pass. But if you had a quarterback that you wanted to have in the playoffs, going up against the who would you rather have? Aaron Rodgers, even though he's hurt, or Russell Wilson? Now, I know Russell, both of these guys won Super Bowls. There's three quarterbacks that are left in the playoffs right now that have won Super Bowls. Two of them have won one, and Tom Brady had won three, but hasn't been back to that Super Bowl in quite a while. But I'm calling for an upset. I'm calling for an upset. I'm calling for an upset. I truly believe both these teams, visiting teams, can go in there. They have the right tools and the right pieces in their lineups to beat the home team, to beat both of these home teams. I understand Russell Wilson is a very good quarterback, but they're built to play from the front. If they get behind at least two scores, it's going to be very difficult for the Seattle Seahawks because of the way their offense is built to come back. So the key for the Green Bay Packers is put the hammer down and keep it down for the whole game. Don't let up. Don't get conservative. Don't play to lose. Play to win. You have a very good offensive mind in Mike McCarthy. Extremely good. One of the top three quarterbacks in all of professional football. And Aaron Rodgers. One of the top wide receiving cores in Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Davante Adams. Without a doubt. And one of the top five running backs in the league in Eddie Lacy. Look on the other side. Before I do that, look at Green Bay. Green Bay has been playing better defense in the last few weeks. So don't discount Green Bay's defense. A lot of people say that the Seattle Seahawks wide receiving corps is underrated. I don't think so. They're capable. They're NFL receivers, but they don't have the skill set as a Randall Cobb, as a Jordy Nelson, and even a rookie, Davante Adams. If that receiving core is all pro, except, you know, Davante Adams, they're rookie. He's still learning. So, I understand the Legion of Boom. I understand that defense is tenacious. And the 12th man, especially being up in Seattle, that it's tough to beat them up there. But if there's one team that can do it, it's always been proven that they can be beat up there. Arizona, if I'm not mistaken, beat them up there. And but I do know the Dallas Cowboys beat them up there with a running game and a very good tight end and a very good two receivers in Terrence Williams and especially Dez Bryant. Well, guess what? Green Bay Packers have that formula. Aaron Rodgers has been practicing this week, be it maybe on a limited basis, but he's been practicing. That's key. A lot of people aren't bringing that up. Haven't seen it like I've seen it. The times that Aaron Rodgers hasn't played well, for the most part, he hasn't played well in games, but what I'm saying is this. when Aaron Rodgers doesn't practice going into a game, he doesn't play that well. I've seen it last year. I've seen it the year before that. And it doesn't make a difference whether it's a regular season game or a playoff game. Well, and I'll reiterate, emphasize this again. He has practice on a limited basis this week. Got that rhythm. He's got that rhythm. Okay? He's into the flow. And I should say into the flow, but without him practicing, it's a void in his game come Sunday, come game time. Practices helps him keep into that zone, so to speak, that a quarterback needs. So I'm extremely confident. I'm extremely confident that the Green Bay Packers will go into Seattle and beat them. Extremely confident. That's the first game on the docket. Starts at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Anxious to see that. That's the game I want to see. Because I truly believe of the two games that can provide an upset, it's that game. It's that game. Most other people think, well, what about the Indianapolis and New England? Well, what about them? Andrew Luck is a very extremely good quarterback, and he's only getting better. But he has a tendency early in games, and I've said this before, to make mistakes. And then he has to make up for those mistakes, and he has these tremendous comebacks or he gets his act together and starts playing better, and it puts up those numbers. And they had a running game. I know they have Darrell Revis and company. Brandon Brown, I'm not sure if he's playing or not. And they got their butt kicked the last time they played each other. But they have a run game. They have a solid run game now. And I'm thinking to myself, with the weapons they have, with the weapons they have, I'm thinking, why not? They played New England back in week 11. That's almost 2 months ago to the day. And got their butt kicked. Andrew Luck was the highest rusher in that game with 15 yards. New England ran for, they ran for 246 yards in that game, whereas Indianapolis only ran for 19. In that game, let me see what the let me get the box score out here. And Jonas Gray went wild with that. That's when he had a career high, 37 carries, 201 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Ahmad Bradshaw got hurt in that game. T. Richardson did absolutely nothing. Like I said, Andrew Luck was the highest rusher with 15 yards. Well, since then, Daniel Boone Heron has arrived. T. Rich is not on there, like I talked to you earlier. T. Rich is not in the building. Ahmad Bradshaw is on IR. He won't be back at all. They have a run game. to complement the passing game. So, and the fact is, the running back can catch the ball out of the backfield and is very effective coming out of the backfield catching the ball. So, Reggie Wayne, the old man, who pretty much been nondescript and an afterthought. T.Y. Hilton, who's probably going to be on Revis, but I don't think Revis can hang with him because T.Y.'s got a lot of speed, and Revis has problems with receivers that have a lot of speed. So he's going to have to use press coverage to try to keep T.Y. Or slow him down off the line of scrimmage. Dante Moncrief, who's got a ton of speed, and I think is going to be a key guy into this. And then you got Hakeem Nicks, who's been to the Super Bowl, I'm not saying he's the all world, but he is a seasoned veteran going up against, and he's been up against New England before. It's not the first time. So I'm saying, in myself, you know, I know they got Gronkowski or Gronk on the other side. Of course, they got three-time Super Bowl champion and a potential first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback, Tom Brady. But they have a vast array of running backs, LeGarrette Blount. Maybe they'll pull out Jonas Gray out of the mothballs. I kind of doubt it. That's why they got LeGarrette Blount. They got Shane Vereen. They also have in receiving called Julia Edelman and the resurgence of Danny Amendola. So this all has the makings, in my opinion, of a shootout. Without a doubt, in my opinion, this is going to be a shootout. High-scoring game, and New England's favored by 7. I say, okay. Let me ask you something, people. Let me ask you this. What's more difficult? And who had the more weapons between the two teams? And I'm going to name the teams. The New England Patriots and the Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos at C.J. Anderson, who's been lighting it up. Very good runner and has been basically carrying the team over the last several weeks. Demaryius Thomas, big-time wide receiver. What wide receiver is big-time on New England? Okay? You got Emmanuel Sanders. Probably on par with Brandon LaFell with more speed, more big playability. You got Julian Edelman. Okay, that's a Wes Welker type of player. Even though Wes Welker is not too much used in this offense anymore, that's the type of player we're talking about, a Wes Welker type of possession type of wide receiver. All right? Got a big time, the best player on the team, in my opinion, other than Tom Brady, is Rob Gronkowski, the Gronk. Julius Thomas hasn't been showing up, or hadn't showed up. Okay, but I'm talking about the overall talent level between the two teams, including the quarterback. If you had a choice, including the quarterback, of the skill positions in New England or Denver, who would you want? Now, it may depend on what region you ask this question, what region in the country you ask this question. But overall, if you had a choice of the squad, the skill position squads in New England or the skill position squads in Denver, who would you want? My opinion, I would want Denver. Other people's opinion, they may want the other people's opinion may be New England. Me, myself, I'd rather have Denver's skill positions. And the reason I'm saying that is this. The reason I'm bringing this up is this. Going up, Indianapolis, in my opinion, is going up against a team whose skill players outside of Gronk and Tom Brady aren't as good and aren't on the same level as the ones in Denver. They're on the road for the second time. They're going to try to knock off another Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback in Tom Brady. They already knocked off Peyton Manning on a very bad Peyton Manning day. Who's to say that they can't do the same thing with the much confidence and as well as that defense has been playing, especially the secondary, that they can't do it against the New England Patriots? The key, and it's always been the case, the key to getting the best of the New England Patriots is a pass rush. Knock Tom Brady down. Hit him. Get in his face. Frustrate him to the point that his play suffers greatly from it. And it's been proven over and time again. When that happens, Tom Brady is not a mobile quarterback. He's going to be sitting in the pocket trying to pick you apart. Get him off his spot. Hit him when he releases the ball. And then he'll start seeing ghosts, start seeing shadows. And that is when you are able to make the best of it. Now, Baltimore tried to do that last week. And for the most part, they did. For the most part, they were in that game with a shootout. But for a play of Joe Flacco throwing the ball into the end zone that where he threw it. And for the fact is, I don't think his wide receiver really tried to help the quarterback out with that errant throw. And he got intercepted and ended the season for the Baltimore Ravens. I think these wide receivers are going to do their best. If their quarterback throws an errant throw and they got a shot to not let the DB or safety intercept the ball, they'll make a concerted effort. Better than what I saw against Torrey Smith, who just tried to give a guy a shoulder at just before he caught the ball or just as he was catching the ball, rather than try to get there and bat the ball down or whatever. It makes a difference. And I'm not making excuses. I'm just, if you watched the game, if you saw when Joe Flacco threw that interception, you would know what I'm talking about. The wide receiver, Torrey Smith, did not really try to protect his quarterback. And gave the DB who intercepted that ball just a little shoulder. Didn't try to put his arms up there. Didn't try to strip him. Didn't try to rake his arms to try to knock that pass down. Just give him a shoulder to knock him. Which, to me, when I saw that, I said the wide receiver was just as much faulted in that play as the quarterback in throwing an errant ball like that. And you're not going to get, now you like to, in ideal conditions you would like to. And some of these wide receivers expect their quarterback, and they well should, but it's not going to happen all the time, to throw a precise pass so they can get an easy catch out of it versus having to work for a catch. But that separates the elite wide receivers from just the good or to average wide receivers. The good and average wide receivers do things like what Torrey Smith did. Give a half-hearted attempt to try to disrupt the catch of that DB. The elite wide receivers, like a Calvin Johnson or a Dez Bryant or Jordy Nelson, would do everything they can to protect their quarterback because they know every throw that comes their way is not going to be perfect. So when those imperfect or not so good throws come, either you can make the catch and adjust to it, or if it's a chance that the DB or safety is going to have a chance to intercept the ball, you do everything possible to not let that happen. And I don't think Torrey Smith did that. Now, if it was the other way around, I think Steve Smith would have done that. I really believe that. And that's the difference. I'm saying that's the difference in the type of quarterbacks that type of wide receivers that you deal with. The type of thumb wide receivers that can be so-called divas and expect everything to be perfect. And when it's not perfect, it's on the quarterback, and the heck with it. I'll make it look like I tried to do something. But in my opinion, and I can guarantee you, that quarterback, that wide receivers coach, that head coach, that offensive coordinator, they saw what happened. I saw what happened. That was a half-hearted attempt of not letting that DB catch the ball. He saw the ball just like the DB. He reacted to it half-heartedly, not the DB. I don't think that's going to happen in this game against New England and Indianapolis. I think Indianapolis is going to be extremely aggressive in running the ball, trying to keep the ball away from the New England offense, absolutely trying to keep the ball away, and take their shots with T.Y. Hilton and Dante Moncrief and try to use that speed to make big splash plays, get up on the New England Patriots and make them one-dimensional away from the passing game. Now, I know that New England scrapped the passing game. I think Tom Brady was the highest rusher last week. I think they only rushed for a total of 14 yards. Okay? But I think Andrew Luck is a better quarterback than Joe Flacco. I think the Indianapolis Colts has better weapons than the Baltimore Ravens. And they saw what New England did to them when they played them in Week 11, and they saw what New England did against the Baltimore Ravens. Tape don't lie. Tape don't lie. Now, if you are playing in your daily games, this is probably the last week in FanDuel or DraftKings. And there are teams that I, teams. There are players that I like in here a lot. One of them is in the quarterback. I really like Tom Brady in this, okay, because I think he's going to have to throw the ball quite a bit. And I think Andrew Luck are both tempting options this week. And they're about 100 or 100 or so difference in the salary cap. And FanDuel and plays in here. In the running backs, like I said, I absolutely love Boom Heron, especially in DraftKings, where he's at 5,900. And if it's in PPR format, he is extremely good pick to get into your lineup. Another guy that I talked about would be LeGarrette Blount in DraftKings. He's only at 4,500. In FanDuel, he's at 5,400. Of course, everybody's going toward Eddie Lacy. And Marshawn Lynch. Those are the two top guys in DraftKings and FanDuel. Marshawn Lynch is 7,600, which is a good price. He's the top one by far in DraftKings. And in FanDuel, is 8,600. Eddie Lacy is 6,300, almost $1,300 cheaper in DraftKings. Excuse me. And Eddie Lacy is 8,300. And FanDuel. Boom Heron, 5,900, like I said, in DraftKings, and 7,000 in FanDuel. With Garrett Blount, 4,500 in DraftKings, and 5,400 in FanDuel. Both are good values. I'm putting both in my lineup, and or I try to pair Marshawn Lynch and Daniel Herron. Marshawn Lynch is going to be getting the ball quite a bit, and I think he's going to be able to run the ball against Green Bay. Same thing, I think about Dan Herron, especially the fact that both these guys are able to catch the ball out of the backfield. More Dan Herron than Marshawn Lynch. But both of these guys can catch the ball out of the backfield. Now, I'm not saying Eddie Lacy can't do that, but he's going up against a stiffer defense. I'm looking for value. I'm looking for guys that the defense that they're going up against is going to be a little softer. And three guys that I'm talking about are Marshawn Lynch, Dan Herron, and LeGarrette Blount. I think all three of these guys will be able to run the ball against the opposing defense. And wide receiver position. I think Jermaine Kearse is a very good value here. 3,800 in DraftKings, 5,800 in FanDuel. And if that's too much of a boom or bust type of player for you, then I would do this. And you still want a receiver it because of the fact is that you want to get a value. Maybe you want to try out Doug Baldwin from the Seattle Seahawks and see what happens there. If it's all possible, there's three tight ends that you probably will want in your lineup. But the better value, since Gronk is by far not even close, the highest tight end this week is 7,800 in DraftKings. And 8,200 in FanDuel. And the next highest guy is in DraftKings, 4,300. That's $3,500 less than Gronkowski in DraftKings. And $2,700 less in FanDuel. But if you go with either Kobe Fleener or... if you go to Kobe Fleener, then the better value, in my opinion... Now, he scored a touchdown last week of Kobe Fleener. But in my estimation, I would rather go with Dwayne Allen versus Kobe Fleener. That's just something about Dwayne Allen I like. He's more all-around player than Kobe Fleener, who has a tendency to drop quite a few balls. I like Dwayne Allen more. That's just me. I just like Dwayne Allen more. And then you have to contend with a kicker, which I would probably like Hauschka from the Seattle Seahawks the most, in my opinion. That's who I would like the most versus some of the other kickers. But that's just me. I think Hauschka in that home stadium is going to be going to be kicking the ball. Going to be kicking the ball in his home stadium. Quite naturally, I think there will be no problem with Seattle moving the ball up and down the field between the 20s. It's a matter of getting into the end zone that I really like. Seattle Seahawks kicker versus the other guy. I mean, let me put it this way: you got four stellar quarterbacks that are should be able to move the ball up and down the field and get their team in field goal range. And I gotta believe that. Going to happen here. So, I'm saying to you this. This is your last week for you to jump in and participate in So, I would not hesitate, jump in to these tournaments, and hopefully you can walk away from either DraftKings fantasy score or FanDuel with some money and just another incentive for you to watch the games and watch the guys that are playing the game. That being said, enjoy the games. Stay tuned next week. We'll have a idea, or we'll know who will be the two participants in the Super Bowl, and we'll talk about it. Enjoy the games, and we'll talk to you next week.
Let's go. Ain't no room for hesitation up in here. It's time to leave it on the field, because it's game time. It's time to make your hard work pay off. Make your mom and dad proud. Make your opponent pay the price. It's time to step up and get it done, son. You go hard or you go home. From the first whistle to the last. Bring it all day, every play. Because you know your boys are going to put on the line for you. They got your back, so you better have theirs. This is about the team. It's about pride. It's about who's the hungriest. So what's it gonna be, man? You gonna leave it on the field, or you gonna leave it inside? You gonna leave it or something in your tank, or you gonna do what champions do? Leave nothing. Leave.